It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news. The morning after the night before Manchester United lose to Newcastle. It's Carrick's first loss. But there are some real issues here this morning that I think we need to delve into. Because, look, Paul Scholes last night said Man United had been shit for four games. And apparently, you know, he's as bad as, you know, Keir Starmer. You know, it's ridiculous. It's like, I don't really get what's the problem with the truth. And maybe you can tell me what the truth is with that. However, we can't ignore this. The club are brilliant, brilliant at distracting you. So do you think it's strange that certain journalists are calling Paul Scholes out this morning? Don't you think it's strange that certain content creators are calling out Paul Scholes this morning? You know why? Because people at United have been saying, do us a favour. I know it happens because it's happened with us in the past. It literally is trying to distract from last night, pin it all on Paul Scholes, when the reality is, yet again, some of our fan base are just thick. They're just not looking at what happened last night. An ex-player having an opinion about how Man United play is actually irrelevant to the fact that the football club played badly last night and has been getting away with it. The real issues at the football club that we should be talking about this morning, because blaming ex-players has become the new Gareth Bale. Blaming ex-players has become the new Ronaldo transfer story. United have been at this for years. As soon as there's a bad result, there's something else. And you think Man United sit there going, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? This is a powerful organisation with a lot of money spent on marketing. And lo and behold, distraction tactics are with us this morning. The reality is, we have been beaten by a team with 10 players. And by the way, I think it's embarrassing Newcastle putting that post out about United, in the dressing room like that. I mean, you've just lost three games in a row at home. You've won one out of six. You're not going to be in Europe next year, and we are. But it just shows you the massiveness of Manchester United, and I take it as a compliment. However, the big issues at the football club remain with the intelligent Man United fans. The fact that our director of football, Jason Wilcox, thinks that it was a good idea not to buy a midfielder. And if I was Sir Jim Radcliffe this morning, I'd be saying to Favel, keep it to yourself. You're the new director of football. Get on to Nagelsmann. Because this Pratt doesn't know what he's on about. If I was Sir Jim Radcliffe, where, you know, I've not had the best of months. I haven't had the best of months, have I, if I'm Sir Jim Radcliffe. He has been in the papers a little bit. Also, Man United are 3 points off sixth. We could have been 9 points off sixth. We should have been 6 points off sixth. We've opened the door to sixth place. That money is massive for Manchester United. Absolutely massive. Don't believe the current papering of the cracks on the financials last year. There's hidden depth to that, and there's hidden debt to that. We desperately need Champions League football, and suddenly the door is open again. Why is the door open? It's not because Michael Carrick and Steve Holland can't break down a low block and don't know what to do when things don't go their way. That's not the real issue. The real issue is Jason Wilcox, for two transfer windows, decided that this team didn't need a midfielder. If we'd have brought a midfielder in last summer or in January, I think we'd be absolutely fine. I really, really do. Because our midfield is getting bossed week in, week out. If you take Bruno Fernandes out of this team, I think we'd be fighting with bloody Palace. I think we'd be right down there. I can't believe people last night said Bruno had a bad game. Watch it back. He put five chances. He created five chances in a game where we were shit. Just because he's Bruno Fernandes. One on Ugarte's head. One on Casemiro's head, which he scored. One on Yoro's head. One into Mbeumo. And one into Cunha. 5 chances Bruno created yesterday. Apparently had a bad game. We wouldn't be anywhere without Bruno. But the big issue at Man United is the fact that we didn't buy a midfielder in two transfer windows. And that's on the director of football, because we did spend money. We have spent money. We just didn't spend it on anybody else. And that's been the biggest issue. And I want to delve into some of the bigger issues with Manchester United. But look, we've got a massive game coming up against Arsenal. Against Aston Villa weekend after next. They'll have played on Thursday night. If we win that, we're back on track. That's the focus. There's bigger questions to be asked about the manager and this, that and the other. But Manchester United, as I've said, and as many of you people have said, it almost feels like United are sat there going like this. Oh, please, Carrick, please be the one. Please be the one, Carrick. Please, please. You're so cheap and you've got a coaching staff that's cheap. Please be the one. That's what the club's doing. What they should be doing is, hey, Enrique, what's it going to take? What's it going to take, Enrique? Nagelsmann, what's it going to take? That's what we should be doing anyway. Even if Carrick's winning every single game, we should be talking to these coaches because it's meant to be best in class. And the reality is, look, I've said to you many, many times, I'm just going to move on from this Paul Scholes thing really, really quickly, because if you didn't see what Paul Scholes said last night, it was this. He's deleted it now. So he's obviously regretful, but he basically posted out last night on his Instagram, Michael has definitely got something special about him because United have been crap last 4 games, night, Tonali, love. Can we just say, what part of we've been crap for the last 4 games is Paul Scholes wrong? And maybe this sarcasm there. Maybe there isn't. Maybe he's saying Carrick's done a good job considering we've been playing crap for the last 4 games. Maybe he's saying Carrick's not the guy for the job. I don't know what he's saying, but the reality is, are we going to ignore the fact that he's right? Are we just going to ignore the fact that we have been crap for 4 games? You can argue about whether ex-players should be doing that sort of thing. But as I said to you before, when Nicky Butt said it about Martinez, you can disagree with their opinions. They're not employed by the club. They've got a podcast where they're probably on decent money, and that podcast needs numbers. They have to be opinionated. I don't really have a problem with it. I don't. If you do have a problem with it, that's absolutely fine. But I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. We have been crap the last 4 games. Are we going to ignore that? But also, what I have a problem is I'm absolutely convinced that certain journalists and certain content creators are on the bloody payroll or doing favours for the club. Because what makes you wake up after last night and go, I'm going to write an article about Paul Scholes. I'm going to do a video about Paul Scholes. Oh, I'm going to go in on Paul Scholes. What Man United fan wakes up this morning and goes, right, Scholes is getting it. I mean, that is the for me, it's just such a minor story. Like, I'm waking up this morning and I'm going, Wilcox is bloody useless and needs sacking for not buying a midfielder. Our fullbacks are absolutely atrocious. Our midfield is atrocious. How did we play against Newcastle, who haven't won a home game since early January, for 45 minutes against 10 men and create fuck all? Why is it, if you take Bruno out of the team, we probably would have lost 4-1 with 10 men against 10 men? Like, there's so many things to talk about from last night. I'm not waking up and going, right, Paul Scholes is getting it because he put an Instagram post out that he's deleted that was actually true. I can't criticise Paul Scholes, because if I said it's out of order, people would say, you've literally said we've been shit for 4 games and we shouldn't give Carrick the job at the moment. Yeah, I have. So I don't have a problem with it. But I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to feed the fire of what is quite literally spin and PR from the club, probably getting in contact with people saying, can you say something about Scholes to distract things? I mean, Henry Winter's at it. Rob Dawson's done it. I mean, give time. Whitwell will be at it. Lookhurst will be doing it. They'll all be doing it because they'll all be, can I get a question or an interview? And the reality is, we shouldn't be talking about Paul Scholes. Ex-player has opinions some people don't like. Shock, horror. We've just bloody lost to Newcastle. And I saw somebody this morning say, oh, well, it's his first loss. You know, losses are going to happen in the Premier League. It's very competitive. It's his first loss. I absolutely agree. It's his first loss. But I'm not looking at Carrick. I'm not looking at Carrick. I'm looking at the board. I'm looking at the sacking of Amorim. I'm looking at the team right now. I'm looking at the intensity disappearing. I'm looking at the lack of coaching now against 10 men and low blocks. It's abysmal. And I'm looking at the summer and I'm going, I still think we're going to be in the Champions League, absolutely convinced about it. But what are we actually going to do in the summer? Because if this is the plan for next summer, the last four games have been shit. And yes, we've won two, drawn one and lost one. But that's what's going to happen next season playing like this. The wins came at the start. Arsenal, Man City, Tottenham, Fulham. Four wins in a row came at the start and we were playing quite well then. The last four games, we've been shit and we've drawn one and lost one. If this is the plan for next season, and basically, let's be honest, the car at the start was full of petrol. There was a lot of energy because we had been an intense team. The car's running out of petrol and we're not refueling. I mean, what's going to happen in this next week and a half? Is the plan to send them to Disneyland? Like, are they having a holiday again? Like, maybe get them on the training ground because the intensity is shite. And this has happened for the last four games. What are we talking about Paul Scholes for? Why are we not talking about the fundamental facts of the problem with the team at the moment? And look, when it was Amrim, it was Amrim's problem. Now it's the players again. The players have always been unreliable. We have to analyse the tactics and the intensity of this team when for four games, the intensity has been terrible and we've been relying on moments primarily from Bruno Fernandes again. I don't see a style of play. I don't see a vision. I just see results. That's what I woke up this morning and thought about. I'll tell you what I also thought about this morning. I looked at their two fullbacks, Lewis Hall and Kieran Trippier, and I looked at ours, Delo and Luke Shaw. Crosses per 90 in the last five games, Lewis Hall 2.2, Trippier 2.3, Luke Shaw 1.17. There is a little bit of a laugh because actually Delo has actually made two crosses per game. I mean, I don't know what he's doing with them. But our fullbacks are doing nothing. And just looking at the last few games, Hall and Trippier are averaging basically five crosses a game between them. Delo and Shaw are averaging three. At Man United with a 6'5" striker, they've got Anthony Gordon up front. We've got bloody Benjamin Sesko. I think if you had Trippier and Hall as your fullbacks with Sesko up front, they'd actually cross it even more. That's bloody abysmal. Absolutely abysmal. And you also look at things like this as well. Dribbles per 90, 2.7 from Lewis Hall, 0 from Luke Shaw. It's just not going forward. And what about passes per 90? Passes, forward, passes per 90, 52 Lewis Hall, 61 Trippier, 40 for Luke Shaw, 52 for Delo, but even though Delo's are okay, forward passes per 90, 20 for Lewis Hall, 23 for Trippier, 11 for Luke Shaw, and 14 for Delo. Our fullbacks are abysmal. But let's talk about Paul Scholes' Instagram. Our fullbacks are crap. Why are they not going forward? Beth made a great point this morning. She said people get on about Mbeumo and Cunha, but if you've got fullbacks that don't overlap, your job's very difficult. Prime example, David Beckham was never the quickest player in the world, but he could get across him because Neville had run past him and it creates space. Oh, but let's talk about Paul Scholes' Instagram. Our fullbacks have been terrible for weeks. Now, maybe they are terrible, but maybe there's a tactical thing there. Why are our fullbacks staying back? Why aren't they going forward? Could it be because Maguire's slow and we need to keep our fullbacks back to cover him? Ooh, let's give Maguire a new contract and keep our fullbacks back next year as well. I like Harry Maguire, but in a back four, the lack of pace is a problem. And it's fine when you're scraping wins and you're doing well, but these problems are there. And people can see it. And maybe Paul Scholes has seen it. And maybe some of you have seen it. I certainly have seen it. I was saying it when we were winning, so I'll say it when we're losing. When our fullbacks are not helping us at all. They're not doing anything. It's almost like a back four, but a back four. Like a back four to me, if you look at like Liverpool, Konate and Van Dijk stay on their own. Rio and Vidic stay on their own. Your fullbacks go forward. We're literally playing a back four. We're almost being mugged off because all the journalists and the hipsters were going, oh, Amorim's back three will never work at Manchester United. Right? We're basically doing it anyway. You've been mugged off, you prats. We're not really playing a fucking back four in the sense that the fullbacks go forward. We're keeping them back. Luke Shaw's basically another centre-back, if you look at it. He doesn't go forward. Delo will go forward. Luke Shaw doesn't. We're effectively still playing a back three. And Luke Shaw's stats in the last five games prove it. One cross per 90. His passing is fucking so low as well. Forward passing. So that's a massive problem. And the other issue is the midfield. And this is what I'm talking about. Why are we waking up this morning arguing about a bloody Instagram post from an ex-player? Because you're morons. And I'm a moron. Because we constantly get spun by this football club. We've lost the game. We can't be talking about the board. We can't be talking about the owners. We need something. Oh, Scholes is Instagrammed. Get on with that. You all said it in the summer. If we don't get a midfielder, we might be in trouble this season. You all said it in January. If we don't get a midfielder, we might be in trouble this season. Now, we're going to get Champions League football, in my opinion, without signing a midfielder. But we probably should have another 15 points. When you think about it. Which incredibly puts us in a bloody title race. But we have dropped a lot of points this season, in my opinion, because we don't have a midfield. I think Bruno Fernandes is quite clearly player of the year this year. Forget Declan Rice, forget Erling Haaland. Bruno Fernandes is quite clearly player of the year this year because the fact that Man United should have at least another 10 points, which puts us in a title race, is mad because we're nowhere near good enough to be in a title race. But I can count easily 10 points that we've dropped. Easily. I could probably count more. You could argue we've been a bit lucky with Fulham and the red cards, I suppose. So maybe 10 might be a stretch, but we certainly shouldn't have any less points, and you could argue we should have more, despite our midfield being crap. And it is crap. Like, I don't propose anybody to go and watch the game again last night, but look, Mainoo's had a lot of stick, but Casemiro scoring a goal sort of did hide a bad performance. They ran us ragged. Joel Linton, I mean, he's hard enough anyway, but he bullied them. He literally bullied them. Even Ramsey, before he went off, was quicker than them. Tonali was here, there and everywhere. They absolutely got exposed. I think if you ever wanted to watch a game where you... I mean, I don't think any of you do, but if there is a United fan out there that thinks our midfield's good, last night would be the game to sit and watch and you'd have a wake-up. Like, it was dominated. Absolutely dominated. Physically, speed, movement of the ball. They played through our midfield countless times and they were so energetic. They were so intense. You can't walk out of that game and go, oh, it's a one-off. Seems to be some people waking up this morning going, oh, you're going to lose games. Of course you're going to lose games. The Premier League is weird this year. You're going to lose games. And we've done very well not to lose a game under Carrick until last night. But last night wasn't, I'm not having that. Well, in my opinion, I'm not having that. Last night wasn't one of those where you wake up and go, oh, well, it's one of them. I don't think you do, because we played absolutely abysmal. And when you play 45 minutes against 10 men and you've got no tactical plan at all, none, you don't even start putting crosses into Sesko until the last 15 minutes, and your midfield is rubbish, and your fullbacks won't go forward and put crosses in, I think that last night is more than just, oh, well. I think it's hugely back to the... I mean, look, I don't know how Carrick trains the team. Apparently he's reduced the training. There can't be any holidays anymore. We're a fucking football club. We're a professional football club. People shouldn't be going to fucking Dubai to train on their own. That's just lazy cheap from the club. We should have took them all to hot weather training. He needs to increase the training and he needs to try and find what he had against Arsenal and Man City. He needs to try and find some intensity and vision. Because we can't just keep saying we can't play against a low block. And Newcastle didn't even play a low block. That's the thing. I saw some hipster this morning talking about Man United struggle against the low block. But, you know, Carrick hasn't had long enough on the training ground. And I'm like, but it wasn't a low block. It clearly wasn't a low block. They came out in the second half and they were playing a high line for about half an hour. They didn't even play a low block. So we couldn't even play through them in the way that we want to play them. But I'll repeat it again. Don't ignore this because of the spin and the PR that's out there and the bloody outrage at an ex-player. The real issue here is that we have neglected two areas of the pitch again, and this keeps happening because we're slow. Oh, we need a striker. We'll take 2 years to do that. Oh, we need a centre-back. We'll take 2 years to do that. We need a goalkeeper. We'll take 2 years to do that. Well, now we need two fullbacks and two midfielders. Like, those areas of the pitch are absolutely terrible. And also, just in relation to Eddie Howe, This is the second time in the last month I've seen a manager that I would love to have at Man United. I don't mean I want Eddie Howe or Marco Silva. But people, you know, when I say PRV, performance, results and vision, probably one of the best things we've ever come up on here, apart from the five strands of transfer and a couple of other bits. But PRV is really important. Results, vision, performance. You've got to have all three in football if you want to be successful. Do not talk to me about time on the training ground and... Well, yeah, don't talk to me about time on the training ground and it's difficult to implement a style of play. It really isn't. I watch so many teams and I instantly see what they're trying to do. New managers and old managers. Marco Silva, when Fulham play, they like to get down the wing, they like to move the ball quickly, and they like to create chances, and they play a slightly higher line. Newcastle are the same, but different. Newcastle want to play high, they want to get down the wing, they want to move the ball quick, they want to create spaces.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Why don't we have a style of play? What is our style of play? Why is it so difficult for Manchester United to utilise something that we've done for decades? Why can't we get width in this team? The midfield's crap, the fullbacks are crap, but we have a 6'5" striker. Newcastle do concede a lot of goals, Dansk. They do play quite open, but at least it's a style of play. That's what I'm talking about. I can see a style of play, and they definitely put crosses in the box. It's criminal. It's absolutely criminal. And as Harry says, the style of play is pass to Bruno and pray. And that's not a criticism of Bruno. I'll give him 400 grand a week because I don't know where we are without him. I really don't know. I can't believe some people thought he had a bad game last night. I don't know where we are without Bruno Fernandes. I really don't. You've got to keep him. You've got to give him a pay rise. You have to. Because basically, it is get the ball to Bruno and pray. You're right. Let's get into some of your comments anyway, because a lot of people have got a lot to say this morning. Thanks to everybody who's tuning in. Dino says, hi, why would any big name player want to join United in the summer when the fans and the board are fractured and United are always sacking their managers and there's no stability at the club, says Dino. Well, I've seen this ridiculous bullshit this morning. And it's almost like dictatorship, propaganda, trying to control minds. Like, I saw somebody this morning say, this fan base is so flippant. When we're winning, everything's great. When he loses, he can't have the job. And I'm like, I don't know what you consume, because I've not heard anybody saying that when we were winning. I mean, literally, we can only take what we do. But as a community, for the last 6 weeks, it's been debated about whether we should keep Carrick or not, whether we should go for a bigger manager, whether Bruno's going to stay, what are we going to do next season? How is this team going to manage two games a week? What's the style of play? Our fullbacks aren't good enough. The midfield is terrible. It's almost like some of these people wake up and just spew shit, because I completely agree. If everything had been really rosy and everybody was really happy and then we lose a game and everyone's really angry, I get, come on, calm down. But I actually haven't seen anybody before yesterday going, even when we were winning against Palace and Everton, I didn't see people going, oh, everything's great, everything's brilliant, next season's going to be great, the team's great, the football's great. We haven't seen that. So just be wary of people like that, because I don't think there's a problem with United fans this morning being concerned or moaning, because I've seen that concern and moaning for the last 2 months since they sacked Amorim. Not that Amorim being sacked was the wrong thing, but what are we going to do next? And there's a lot of intelligent United fans out there that are looking at the summer and beyond. Obviously, the now is very important. We have to get Champions League football. But for some fans, the summer and next season has become more important because with Champions League football, how are we going to do? Without Champions League football, what are we going to do? So yeah, the next few weeks are very important. But I think some fans are just blinkeredly looking at it like that. Whereas some of us are looking at next season and going, we need to plan now. Being a football club is multitasking. You can't just go, we're winning games under Carrick. These players are doing a good job. Let's all have a party. You've got to go, no, we need a whole new midfield. We're playing two games a week next season, regardless whether it's Europa League or Champions League. Who's the manager going to be? The club needs to be looking at these sort of things because the fans are as well. And it's not negative to wake up this morning and go, I'm a little bit confused about what we're doing as a football club. But as I said last night, nobody should have said Carrick should get the job before the Newcastle game. And nobody should be saying Carrick doesn't get the job after the Newcastle game. Because what will happen is we'll beat Villa and everyone saying don't give Carrick the job will go, give him the job again. And this is the modern society, isn't it? This flip-flop nature that seems to infect a lot of people. Many of us have said, let's get to the end of May, qualify for the Champions League and assess the situation on how we've played against who is available. Because if Carrick gets us playing good football and we get top four and the manager pool is shit, then maybe he does get the job. We have to take that risk. We have to take that punt. But if he keeps playing like this, scraping results, and there's a good manager available, he doesn't get the job. But you have to wait until the end. And look, we have got people like Dorgu coming back. And Dorgu does remind me a little bit of Bruno. I think he's a player that can produce something out of nothing and he can put a cross into the box. My honest opinion is we're not a very good team. Shock horror, but we're not a very good team. We're sort of getting away with it. I thought Wayne Rooney said something really, really good when he said that, you know, people talk about coaching and styles of play and this, that and the other. But Michael Carrick's done a good job in coming in and simplifying things, getting players to run, getting players to stay in position, just simplifying things for these players. And I've always said a lot of these players are low IQ players when you compare them to PSG or Barcelona or Bayern Munich or Manchester City or even Arsenal. They're low IQ players. They wouldn't survive in those teams because the adaptability, the talent. But when these players are given simple instructions, it's like under Amorim, it's like being in the top set of the maths group. When I was like 14, I was quite good at maths. And when we did GCSEs, I got put in the top group and I hated it. It was above my level. I wanted to go down to the middle group because that's where I could perform. And they kept me in the top group saying, no, you'll definitely get you'll get a good GCSE mark. I didn't. I got a C. I hated being in there. It was with all the geeks, data deans, and I just didn't thrive in that situation. I found it horrible, complicated. They were all laughing about algebra puzzles and I just didn't like it. If I'd have been in the middle group, a lot simpler, I would have got better than a C. And I think United players are a little bit like that. When Amorim was here or Ten Hag was here, at times they're like, this is too complicated. I just can't do it. And then you simplify it down to Ollie levels where it's just, you know, sit deep and counter and they're fine. And Rooney's right. I think that's what Carrick's come in and done. He's simplified it, which is exactly what he should do as an interim coach. But look, what we need to see is results. If we get to see good performance again, then, you know, essentially maybe he can have the job. But I wouldn't be giving anybody the job for the way we've been playing over the last four games, regardless of results. I think we've got to be better than that. We have to be better than that. Is this the start of a losing streak, says Grim? I think we've got really interesting games. I think Villa will be a win because they'll play Thursday and the crap. Bournemouth away will be interesting. Leeds at home, again, probably a win. Chelsea away will be interesting. But I've always said, if we win one, draw one for the rest of the season, we'll be there. We will be there. And I am... Why is my Duncan Edwards picture over? Okay, about that. My issue is the real issue is the board and their crap running of this football club. Michael Carrick's not the issue. The players aren't the issue because the board can make those decisions and be absolutely fine. But I'm not sitting here this morning saying it's the end of the world as we know it. I'm saying that we will get Champions League football. I'm very, very confident about it. I mean, look, you look at the league table. I think some people are panicking. Is it going to be the start of a losing streak? Well, it shouldn't have even been the start of a losing streak, in my opinion, because we should have won last night. I think any team that plays 45 minutes against 10 men at 1-1 should go and win the game. They shouldn't go and lose it. So, look, I think we're playing one game a week. We've got some very good players. And whilst I don't think we'll win every game between now and the end of the season, I think we'll get enough points to be there. I mean, Villa are dropping like a stone. I mean, just on the league at the moment, Villa are dropping like a stone. And they're only going to... I feel bad for them because they've lost their entire midfield. But I can't see Villa staying in the top five. I think as Chelsea and Liverpool get top five by default now. We need to break the bank and pay whatever it is to get Tonali. He was so good last night and has been consistently. He would be perfect for his, says the Lemon Love. Oh, it's just so good. So good. We're not qualifying for the Champions League after yesterday's downfall, says Amit. Yeah, but we will. You could see the players looking for Bruno to give him the ball and hope he can create something special. It'll be hard to replace him if he goes, says Ian O'Connell. He can't be allowed to go. I mean, it's a show in itself, but he can't be allowed to go. The difference between Casemiro and Ugarte is huge, says Grimm. We could really struggle in the league next year, Mark, especially if we get Champions League. I don't trust the owners to bring in six or eight players of good quality, says Ollie. I think this is a good point as well. Like, we played on Sunday, we played on Wednesday, and we were crap. We did it against Spurs and West Ham, and we were crap against West Ham. The players are just not... Even playing one game a week, they're not up for it. The intensity is terrible, and I think this comes down to the coaching. We were really intense against Arsenal and Man City, and ever since then, it's just got gradually worse and worse. Like, I even thought last night, obviously we reduced the training. You can see the legs are not as quick and as intense. But are some players starting to think about the World Cup as well? I don't know. Are people thinking about the World Cup? Are people playing when they shouldn't be playing? You know, is Luke Shaw actually fit, or is he just desperately trying to get in the World Cup squad for March because he's been shit the last two games? Is it starting to play on Casemiro's head that he's playing, you know, his last World Cup in the summer? I don't know. I don't know whether it's training, mine's on the World Cup, but yeah, poor. Our style of play is called Bruno Fernandes, says Grimm. Let's just call it Bruno. Some people play high press football. Some people play possession football. We play Bruno football. Dino says, I've done that one from Dino. Thank you very much. Player's fault when Amrim here. Now it's Carrick's fault, says Rory. No, other way around. It was Amrim's fault when he was here. And now it's the player's fault. You got that the wrong way around, mate. It's a disgrace that Carrick has given these players time off and light training sessions. Sooner these are professional players, no standards, says Iris Whiskey. And Patrick Lynch says, Bruno is not always great. He can be petulant and frustrating, but he feels like the only player we have both the talent and mentality for United. It's essential we get him a new contract. As I said, Patrick, I couldn't believe it last night how, even in a game where we deserved to lose, Bruno Fernandes still created three or four chances that could have been scored. And Newcastle deserved to win that game, but they didn't create the chances that Bruno did. And that to me is like, is that not what's been happening for the last few weeks anyway? We've probably been playing the same as we did against Newcastle, against Palace, Everton and West Ham. But those moments have been happening where an individual player wins as a game of football. I mean, Everton, it was a pass by Cunha. West Ham, it was a finish by Sesko. Crystal Palace, it was a cross by Bruno and a header by Sesko. This is not stylistic to me. This is not tactics to me. This is like defend deep and get the ball to Bruno, isn't it? We can't really be angry or disappointed. Who in their right mind thought the group of players were unbeatable, says Marlo. Rory says, Scholes does not have United's best interest at heart. What? Because he has a different opinion to you, Rory. I mean, look, if you want to make it about Paul Scholes this morning, well done. You've completely fallen for United's propaganda. And I'm convinced about that. And as I said, I've played the game and I've looked around this morning, journalists, content creators leading on the Scholes thing. And I'm like, What makes you wake up and talk about an Instagram post from an ex-player when we've lost to 10 men playing absolutely shit? I'd be more respectful of those people if they led with, what the fuck was that sub about for Malasia? Or what's the hype with Mainu? Like, these sort of things are proper conversations. This is why we should have bought a midfielder. Why we need to sack Wilcox. All these things are actually relevant to the team. What Paul Scholes says is irrelevant. He's not a coach. He's just a football fan with an opinion. And people want to talk about that. And you wonder why Sir Jim and the Glazers win. Because they distract you all the time. We've just lost to 10 men. We played for 45 minutes playing shit football. And you want to talk about an Instagram post. No wonder we're going to keep coming back here year after year after year after year. Because you're indoctrinated to their propaganda. You can't help yourselves. You fall into that trap. And I'm only talking to the minority. I know the majority of you don't. But certain people in our fan base fall into this trap every year. It's exactly the same as 10 years ago when you lose a game and you're playing really shit and then you wake up. We're signing Gareth Bale. We even know the tactics. They've just evolved a little bit. This was on Carrick. Let's keep the focus, says Rory C. The better Rory. Rory S is rubbish. We spent in the wrong areas and overpaid, says Danny. Well, look, I disagree with you on that one. We should have bought a midfielder in the summer and we should have bought a midfielder in January. We should have bought two midfielders. We didn't buy any. Sesko was a good signing. Le Mans was actually right at the end of the window. So we were lucky they even did that. They weren't going to do that. Cunha and Mbeumo made sense for Amorim's system, but they didn't buy him a midfielder. In this system, Cunha doesn't work. I've just said it. He doesn't work. I sort of hinted at it last night. The double signing of Cunha and Mbeumo doesn't work anymore. And I think the club know it. That £120 million suddenly looks like a bit of a waste of money because they don't work in this team. Mbeumo does. Cunha doesn't. Cunha's not a left winger. So what are United going to do next season with Cunha? Because we can't keep him on the left wing. He's not a left winger. He doesn't know how to put a cross in. So Cunha and Mbeumo are brilliant signings, but we didn't need both of them if we were going to play a 4-4-2 or a 4-3-3. And I love Cunha. I think he's a brilliant player. Maybe we let Bruno go and Cunha plays there. Maybe that's the plan. But you're going to lose the passing range, just like you're going to lose Casemiro's height in the summer as well. Cunha and Mbeumo weren't bad signings. I just think in this system, there's a lot of questions. A lot of questions. I mean, look, Harry Maguire doesn't work in this system. Give him a new contract. I like Harry Maguire, but he doesn't work in this system. He only works in a back four if you play on the edge of your box. The minute the fullbacks push forward and he's left on his own, he isn't quick enough. In Amrim's system, Maguire's fine because he's got three centre-backs. In a back four where you want to attack, he's a problem. He's a big problem. So there's a lot of problems in that team. A lot of problems. Fullbacks, centre-back, Cunha on the wing. Is Bruno staying? There are a lot of problems in that team, factually. Dino69, if United are in the Champions League next season, does it worry you that it might hinder them to get quality players because clubs will put premium prices on their players because United are desperate? Look, Dino, I don't think we're as good a team as Newcastle. I know they've had a bad season, but I think Newcastle are a good team. I agree with the comment that they leave a lot of space and you can score goals against them. But Eddie Howe does try and play in the right way. They do play with intensity. They do try and get forward. It's a very intense way of playing football. And I think this season, they don't have the squad to do Premier League, Champions League, FA Cup, Carabao Cup. And they got to the semi-final of the Carabao Cup and they're still in the FA Cup as well. He just doesn't have the squad for it. And it's a warning sign. One, we're not actually as good at football as Newcastle. And two, look at where they are in the league. So next season, I don't think there's a United fan out there that's not looking at next season and going, this is probably, being in the Champions League doesn't mean we're going to be in it next year or the year after. We've been here before. 1 year in, 2 years out, 1 year in, 1 year out. I think next season, to get in the top five, it's going to be very, very difficult. I mean, look at it now. We're in the top five because Villa are going to fall away because they don't have the squad and Newcastle aren't there because they don't have the squad. But next season, Newcastle won't be in Europe and they'll probably be back again. So look, it's always going to be competitive to get in that top five. And we're very lucky that we get five spots, because if it was four, I would be panicking a little bit. But with five spots, I think we'll be okay this year. But next year, it's going to be very difficult. YG says, it always amazes me when the centre-backs have the ball, there is no movement whatsoever in front. Such a basic part of the game, low IQ players and badly coached. If you look at the first half yesterday, YG, the volume of backward passes we were playing was incredible. Like, the amount of times Shaw or Mazraoui were going back to the centre-backs who were then going back to Le Mans was incredible. It's a real problem. But look, I do need to talk about Mainoo. It would be wrong of me not to. And look, I just have to say, when it comes to Mainoo, look, I'm a big fan of Mainoo. However, he is no longer the player he was when he broke out. And I don't know why. I don't know whether it's injury or, you know, lack of development in certain areas. I don't know what's gone on with Mainoo, but he's not the player when he first burst on the scene. Because when he first burst on the scene, he was playing, I remember him playing as a number six at Newcastle and Goodison Park, and he was brilliant. I remember him playing in the World Cup, in the Euros, and he was very, very good. I remember the goals he scored against Wolves and his ability to take people on. He seems to have lost a yard of pace. And that's mad. I don't know how you do that at 20. I don't know how, but he seems to have lost a yard of pace. And I still think it's way too early for people to be saying he's overrated or he's not very good. I think he's had a very demanding season. We need to sort this contract out. And in a way, he probably needs to not go to the World Cup and have that, you know, disappointment to go and have one of those summers like Rashford had. You know, where you go to the States or Dubai and you get ripped and you run up and down hills and you get really, really fit. I feel like he needs a proper...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Pre-season and not a World Cup. I don't think he should go to the World Cup, by the way. I mean, I don't know what Tuchel's going to do, but if he's thinking about taking Shaw and Mainoo, I'd be stunned. As a United fan, they're just not good enough at the moment. But I think with Mainoo, it's very different to Shaw. I like Mainoo. I think there's a very good player there. He's just not impacting games. And I said it against Palace and I said it against Everton. He was a passenger. And he was a passenger last night in a worse way, because he got bullied at times last night. Like Linton, Joe Linton, Tonali, Ramsey, Willock, they all overpowered him. So I think with Mainoo, you know, he has been playing football consistently now for about 6 weeks. I'd expect him to have got better and better and better. It feels again like he's got, I think Mainoo's almost reflective of the team. I thought against Man City and Arsenal, he came in with a real buzz and an intensity. And over the last few games, he's gradually getting worse and worse and worse. And that doesn't actually make sense, because he hadn't played much and he'd just come back from an injury. And he came in the team and he played with such intensity and speed. And then in the last few weeks, it's just got worse and worse and worse. And that leads me to believe it's got to be coaching. It's got to be fitness conditioning. Because how do you come into a team that you've not played in for 5 months and have intensity and conditioning? And then as more games go on, you lose it. But look, you're never going to pin me down on negativity around Mainoo, because I like the player and I think he's talented. And I think these are the sort of players you want Man United to be bringing through. But he isn't playing very well at the moment. And there could be a multitude of reasons for that. But I do believe that there is like a conditioning issue as well. But look, as a lot of people last night were saying, has Amrim not been justified again? He was right about Rashford. He was right about Garnacho, and he's right about Mainoo. I mean, look, I don't think he was right about Mainoo. I think with Mainoo, he just wanted certain things. And to be honest with you, when Amrim spoke about Mainoo, it was always quite positively. He just said, you know, I want certain things from him. Watching Mainoo in the last few games under Carrick in a midfield three, it's very obvious that he couldn't have played in a midfield two. I mean, he couldn't have played in a midfield two. There's more work in a midfield two. He wouldn't have been able to do it. So I think it might have been under Amrim, it might have just been a little bit more formational. I don't think he could have played in a midfield two. I really don't. Xerxes showed class, deserves to start, and if not, definitely more consistent minutes. So good with the ball, brings fluidity and goals, will come with more time. I mean, look, in relation to Xerxes, I think he's a player that when there's 15 minutes to go and you're playing against 10 men, he's gonna thrive. He's a talented player. But in a system game in the first minute, I don't think it works. I think Xerxes in the Premier League is great when he's got some space. However, if we'd picked him against Everton from the start or Palace from the start, I think he's going to struggle in a game like that. But look, you're right. He nearly scored an absolute worldie and he can give you something off the bench. I just don't think he's going to stay next season to do that. He's never going to be a starter for Manchester United. As a bench player, he's an interesting profile, but I don't think he'll stay to do that. Mark, is this? I've done that one. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to Lemon Lover as well. Thank you there. You used to praise Amrim for getting the rare win with the load of shit, but expect Carrick to turn this lot into prime PSG. Weird agenda, says Default. No, I think you're just one of the indoctrinated few, aren't you, who are waking up this morning outraged by Paul Scholes' Instagram and trying to slag off every Man United fan that's not happy this morning and then subverting it by bringing Amrim into the argument. I mean, part of me thinks you're even a Man United bot because you're literally ticking so many boxes. Mate, I don't know where you've been for the last few months, but if you go back to December when we lost to Everton and watch my match reaction, you won't see a lot of praise for Amrim. There is this weird assumption by some people that I was up the arse of Amrim when I wasn't. Go and watch the match reactions, mate. That's all I'm going to say. I definitely wasn't. I was pissed off with a lot of things Amrim was doing in December. And I was pretty much saying, give him till the end of the season and then let him go. So I don't know what you're talking about. What I'm talking about in reality is who our current coach is. And to be honest with you, the camera panned on him a lot last night and he didn't look like he knew what he was doing. And a couple of times he was talking to Steve Holland and he didn't look like he knew what he was doing either. And that doesn't surprise me because it reminded me a lot of an England performance last night. I think England, under Southgate, with Holland, could find a way of beating a lot of teams without playing well. England very rarely played well under Southgate. I can probably count two or three games in his whole tenure where England, we played well. But we won loads of games. We won loads of games in a very formulaic way. But when we came up against teams that got ahead of us, we were fucking clueless. And you could sort of see that again last night. We were in trouble last night. And it's crazy. And look, I still don't think it was a second yellow card for Ramsey. I'd rather have played against 11 men. Because I think losing to 10 men exposed us in a much worse way. If you lose to 11 men at Newcastle, you can just go, they're a good team. We caught them on a bad day. But losing against 10 men really did expose a lot. Because in this Premier League, you can lose games of football. Slot's lost games. Arteta's lost games. Pep's lost games. And you sort of like go, oh, well, you move on. But I think last night was more than a loss because of the circumstances. But we've got to pick ourselves up and we've got to go again. I mean, there will become a point where we win again and we move forward. Randy says, what do you think the problem is, the tactics or the players? Both, really. I think the tactics are basic, simple, and even with that, the players still struggle with it. Ollie says, Cunha was brilliant yesterday, but totally isolated when he had the ball off the left. No overlapping fullback whatsoever. Ahmad should start against Villa ahead of Mbeumo. He's been poor. I don't disagree with any of that, mate. Don't disagree with any of it. Dino says, growing up watching United in the 90s, it felt like United was a family where every team, Premier League and every Europe feared coming to Old Trafford. And now that's gone and United had lost its soul and fear factor, says Dino. What really should be happening is that we should have a Jason Wilcox role where they know what the club is all about. And, you know, he says he likes to get involved in the coaching. Well, what is he trying to implement in the team with regards to style? Because, look, obviously I'm coaching in the Border League. You can check it out. But I've coached at amateur level. You know, I'm sure many of you have. You might have played Football Manager, this, that and the other. I'm taking the piss, like it's you know, there's an element of coaching in that, but it's far from professional coaching. However, sometimes when you're playing Football Manager or you're coaching your local team or whatever, there are simple instructions that you put out. You might see a weakness in the opposition and say, get the ball down the left-hand side and shoot on the front post of the goalkeeper because he's weak with his right hand. You might see a left back who's not very quick and say, get the ball to our quick right winger and run at him. Like, very, very simple instructions. And anybody who's played the game or watched the game will know this. You'll all know this. What baffles me is that we pay good money to all these coaches and Jason Wilcox. And for the last few weeks, when Sesko's been on the pitch, we won't put crosses in the box. And yet, Manchester United, if I said to you, what style do you think Man United is traditionally all about? And most of us would say wing play and getting the ball in the box. Because we've always done it, apart from the last 10 years. So I sort of look at it and go, the most simple instruction I could give this team over the next few weeks is obviously always look for Bruno because he's so important. But let's have a secondary tactic of pushing our fullbacks forward, creating spaces for putting crosses into the box to Sesko. And we won't do it. And I can't believe that's not been directional from the board down. I'd have Michael Carrick in the office today if I was Jason Wilcox, and I'd say, Michael, look, you're doing a great job. And if you get Champions League football, we can have a chat. But I've got a bit of an issue. We've spent £70 million on Sesko. He's basically kept you in this job for the last few weeks. You'd have lost to West Ham. You wouldn't have beaten Everton. You know, he's done really, really well. And there's a big issue. And the big issue is he's 6'5". And we're not putting crosses into the box enough. Can we start putting crosses into the box? Can we start just, all right, yeah, Bruno's brilliant. Let's get the ball to Bruno. But can we also say, let's get crosses in the box? Because it's so simple and it will work and our fans will like it and we will win more games. And I just don't know why we're not doing it. The only reason I can think, and I think in life you've got to try and find a reason, the only reason I can think on the left-hand side is Luke Shaw can't do it because he's not fit enough. And also you need somebody to stay back and help Maguire if he gets exposed. But that doesn't explain why we don't do it down the right-hand side. If we're not going to go down the left-hand side, maybe go down the right-hand side. Because Dalot does bomb forward. They're like a headless chicken sometimes, but Dalot does go forward, but he tends to go diagonally forward. We're always looking for this ball for Dalot. You know that ball where it goes over the top and Dalot's one-on-one? So he is going forward, but in the wrong way. I mean, even if he gets it one-on-one, he'll fucking miss. So why don't we just say, stop diagonally running forward? Because that's an Amrim tactic anyway. That's just been stolen from Amrim. Why don't we say to Dalot, stop running diagonally forward and run in a straight line back and forward and provide support so we can get crosses in the box? Because I could speak to Dalot and Mbeumo for the Villa game and say straight away, right, Mbeumo, your cross is the left foot and Dalot, yours is the right foot. So Dalot, you overlap. And if the fullback doesn't go with you, we slip you in, you put the cross in. You overlap. If the fullback goes with you, you move it onto your left foot and you put the cross in. I mean, it's just so bloody easy and we don't do it. Didn't even bring up Slot again. He's disgusting and not even close to Carrick. So don't bring Slot up again, says South Korea. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Appreciate that as well. Let me just have a quick look if we've got any other news coming in. We've got Ben Jacobs on the show this afternoon. I think he's a little bit late. So I think there won't be at 2 o'clock. It'll be at 5 o'clock. So we have got Ben Jacobs on the show today, which is why I've avoided transfers. Basically, I think I deserve a like on the video, because what I've done this morning is I've called out the propaganda. I haven't done any transfer stuff to protect last night's result. And I refuse to, you know, slag off Paul Scholes to protect last night's result. The big issue is we've not been playing very well. What's the direction of the football club and who's responsible for it? And it goes back to people like Wilcox and the board again. Simple as that. The midfield is an embarrassment. The fullbacks are an embarrassment. And that sits with the board. It doesn't sit with Michael Carrick, in my opinion. Tactics sit with Carrick. Substitution sits with Carrick. And there's plenty to discuss there. But if you're waking up this morning choosing to slag off Paul Scholes instead of looking at the real issue, you've got to look at yourself and go, where is all this coming from? What made certain journalists wake up this morning and write tweets and articles about Paul Scholes? Isn't it coincidental that so many of them did it? Why are some content creators doing it? What a coincidence that they all woke up and thought the big issue with Man United is a Paul Scholes Instagram. Read between the lines, people. It's propaganda. It's the new Gareth Bale transfer story. It's distraction tactics, and we shouldn't be distracted. What are the football club doing in the summer? Who are you trying to bring in as players? What managers are you interviewing? And why are we playing so shit after four games when we were so intense and so good in the first four games? We need to look at the training. We need to look at the tactics. We need to look at the style of play. And we need to get this Champions League football. And then we need to bring better players in and probably better coaches. That's what we need to do. Simple. Very, very simple. But look, somebody just said there, do you think it's got Steve Holland's footprints all over it? Look, he's had a glow up over the last few weeks. People have been saying how great he is. I think Carrick will actually win Manager of the Month, won't he? But I think that if you followed England and Steve Holland was there, then... you know, you would know that England were very, very good at getting results, but very, very bad to watch. And I think that was, that was an idea of that last night. I'm looking on social media. And it's just constant Paul Scholes stuff. I mean, I feel sorry for the people who chose to wake up this morning and make content around that. It annoys me because it's complete and utter distraction. There are so many... Why are we talking about an Instagram post from an ex-player? We lost deservedly to 10 men who we played against for 45 minutes and we were absolute shit. Our legs were gone. There were no tactics. The subs were bad. The performance was bad. And next season, we're going to have to play a lot more games with these players. And we don't even know who the manager's going to be. These are the big issues. Whether or not ex-players should be posting stuff on Instagram. I mean, it's his Instagram. He can say what he bloody likes. I've played the game. I've seen the game. And it's just very sinister to me that so many people are talking like that. It's almost like at some point late last night, a message went out. Can we say something bad about this? And loads of people have gone, yeah, don't worry, I will. Look, how many times do we see Simon Stone, Telegraph, Whitwell, Luckhurst? How many times over the years have we seen a story come out from all of them at the same time? So don't talk to me about club briefs being a conspiracy. It just feels like a club brief. I've never seen so many people talking about something that's actually irrelevant to what the real issues are at Manchester United. Let me have a quick look if there's anything else. No, just more Instagram posts about Paul Scholes. Yeah, okay. Right, let's come back to the real community. Shaw doesn't want to overlap to protect himself for the World Cup, says Peter. Mate, if Thomas Tuchel takes Luke Shaw to the World Cup is an idiot. And that's the message of the vast majority of Man United fans. Like, he actually isn't very good. So if Luke Shaw is protecting himself so that he can go to the World Cup, he shouldn't be anywhere near that squad. Lewis Hall shit all over him last night. Absolutely miles better than him. O'Reilly's better than him. Mitchell at Palace is better than him. Like, he shouldn't be anywhere near the World Cup. So if he's protecting himself for the World Cup or whatever, he shouldn't be anywhere near the World Cup. Absolutely nowhere near it. At left centre-back, he was quite good under Amrin. At left-back, he isn't even playing as a left-back. He's created a new role for himself with Carrick, where he's basically a left-back centre-back. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't go forward. He doesn't pass. So no, he shouldn't be going anywhere near the World Cup. I would rather have Vival as director of football than Wilcox as Grim. Look, I've said it before and I'll say it again. My dream is Wilcox gets the sack, Vival becomes director of football, and Nagelsmann comes in as manager. I would love that to happen. Don't even... I've done that one. Luke Shaw and Maguire are our World Cup centre-backs, says Grim. And Alan, thank you very much. Look, I can understand taking Harry Maguire to the World Cup. I wouldn't start him in a back four, but you might take him because he's reliable and he's good on a corner in the last few minutes. You might chuck Harry Maguire on and he's good to have about. But I wouldn't... I don't understand why Luke Shaw is going to the World Cup. I've got no... I watch him every week at left-back and he's just not playing very well. Left centre-back in a three, I get it. Left-back, he's not even playing as a left-back. Look at it. You can be... Bulbas says, you can be correct, just don't be first. Some of us were saying against Palace we looked poor and got pelters. You're not allowed to see what's coming. Yeah, look, I mean, I've had the pelters. I'm sure many of you have as well. I said it in my match reaction after Palace. I said it in my match reaction after Everton, and I said it in my match reaction after West Ham, that whilst the results were good, we were not playing well and the levels of intensity were dropping. You could see this coming. I didn't see it coming at half time, I must admit. I didn't see us losing when we're drawing against 10 men. But we came out in the second half, and for the first 20 minutes, it was like we had 10 men. They continued to dominate. I don't know how Newcastle are doing that as well. 9 games in January, 8 games in February. We've played about half that and they've got more intensity with 10 men. It's incredible. You should be bullying them in the second half. They should be tiring out. It worries me a little bit because if team, you know, maybe Villa come to Old Trafford having played on Thursday and they're more energetic than us. Palace did. Palace played on the Thursday night, came to Old Trafford on Sunday and were more energetic than us. They just had a man sent off and that helped us out. So we are actually less fit than teams that are playing midweek. It's weird. Really, really weird. Ange always wins in his second year. Back the man, says Alan. They always struggle in midweek games. What will happen next season, says Alan Noonan as well. And Daniel Thompson says, just adding to my previous chat earlier in the show, fullbacks are essential in the summer, as is keeping Bruno and getting Tonali. I mean, look, the manager talk's going to obviously be very, very, very interesting. What we do with the summer transfer window, I think we need 2 or 3 midfielders, a left winger, 2 fullbacks, a backup striker, potentially a centre-back. We'll have to wait and see, but probably not. And a backup goalkeeper. So we definitely need 6 to 8 players. Definitely. Look, fantastic show this morning. Thank you very much. I really do appreciate this community because you keep me sane on mornings like this. I just can't believe that we wake up and see United fans screaming and shouting about Paul Scholes' Instagram and not talking about the real issues at the football club. But it's the Gareth Bale transfer story after a loss that we've had for the last 10 years, isn't it? It's just crazy how manipulated people can be. And look, maybe you're not happy with Paul Scholes' Instagram post, but was he at, you know, does that mean we should ignore the fact that we lost to 10 men? Our tactics were crap, our players were crap, our subs were crap, and we had no intensity for the 4th game in a row? And what are we going to do in the summer about transfers? And what are we going to do next season when we've got to play 2 games? And who's the manager going to be? Like, there's huge issues. And we're talking about an Instagram post. It reminds me of the Martinez thing. People just... You can't... Also, we cannot police ex-players' opinion. You can't tell Paul Scholes what to post and what not to post. You can't tell Nicky Butt what to say and what not to say. They are entitled to their opinions and it's theirs. If you don't like it, block them, ignore them, don't watch them. But we've got far bigger issues than this. And that's the story this morning. Wild. Got Ben Jacobs live at 5. The player ratings. I forgot to say my player rating show is out. I didn't do it last night because it was getting late and we have the fan forum. So the player rating show is out. I know a lot of you like that. The link is in the live chat. I'll pin it in the video description as well. And you can check out last night's player ratings and who got man of the match, etc. Take care. Stay safe. And I will speak to you on the next one.
y'all. It's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.